And a pleasure. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studios at Hallis Hall and another hour of the Bears Coaches Show after the opening week loss to the Atlanta Falcons. Good evening, Coach Fox. How you doing?
Not too bad. You know, met with the team today and, got some things squared away, and I kind of like the direction we're going to go.
What's that meeting like every week? Seriously, do you just talk or do you go and point out plays or do you leave that to your coordinators? How's that work in your team meetings?
Well, really kind of a combination of both. We call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, sometimes it involves video. Sometimes it's just, three or four things that we did good and three or four things we did poorly. And, so we mix that up. And then they break down. They watch the special teams tape as a team. And then we break down offense, defense. And, it takes about an hour and a half to hour, 45 minutes to replay the video with the coordinators.
Do you always come up with some specific message, or you just react to what you see and you just tell them, like, man to man, hey, fellas, this is what we went wrong, this is what we went right, and here's where we're headed? Is that how you do it?
Well, pretty much. I think, it really most of the time doesn't change much from Sunday after the game, whatever, when we call up, what I say to them. And in this case, it wasn't either. I think, we're knocking on the door with an opportunity to win and to win in this league, you got to win those close games, and we came up short.
What was the vibe on the sidelines during that first and goal at the 5 and those four plays?
Well, I mean, I think everybody just visualized we were going to make one of those catches go out and kick an extra point and win the game.
As you looked at the tape again, were there more opportunities available to Mike, or were these sound plays that really you could have made a play on if everything worked great?
Well, I think, you have four shots there at the end, and I think, we had two drops, or opportunities to score and didn't. And, they kind of, on third down, they covered us up pretty good. We tried to throw a little stop route to the tight end that they played pretty well. And then the final play, they just wired us. They went man, and they hadn't gone man there, the prior three downs, and we just didn't shake anybody. So Mike tried to flush, and then they got him from the backside.
He got hit 10 times yesterday, according to NFL statistics. I don't know what you saw on tape in terms of that, but and sacked four times, no turnovers. That was big. And that passing game that was very anemic in the beginning kicked in then as the game wore on and really put yourself in a position to win the game. You can't ask for more other than winning the game to have the ball in your hands with the clock running out and a chance to close the deal.
Yeah, I mean, you get four plays from the 5-yard line. We had a similar game a couple years ago against Green Bay, where they had the kind of same kind of opportunity, and we stopped them. So it's what this league's about. It's usually a one score game, and in this case we had the ball last and just came up short.
I know most people don't want to hear this, but it is a reality. Also, this team has to learn how to win those close games. A year ago, 1-6 in close games, and now you start the season with a close game. There weren't many close games in the NFL yesterday. Stunningly, there were only two games decided by 6 points or less. Last year, week one, there were 11. It's very weird what happened this year's week one. But the fact of the matter is there's still a learning curve here. There's guys that are thrown in because of injuries and whatnot. It's just that's the process of the league.
No doubt. And, it's the difference between 6-10 and 10-6. You get those four or five games that, put you over the top, get you into the tournament at the end of the season, and then you got to get on a roll.
All right. The Kevin White injury. There's not anybody in this building isn't sick to their stomach again. I mean, we heard from Akeem Hicks. We heard from Deion Sims. It's just unthinkable bad luck for a guy for a third year in a row. I don't even know how to say it anymore.
Yeah, I think, nobody feels worse. The kid, saw him after the game. He was pretty emotional. And, it is unbelievable. I mean, he changed his number. He changed all the furniture in his house. I mean, it's just been ridiculous. And, it kind of happened. A lineman chasing him, from behind the line of scrimmage, came back, hit him right square in the back. And, they think he has a fractured scapula.
Yeah, right. The thing is, he busted a tackle.
Yep.
And then he tried to keep on going, and he walloped him good. Tack McKinley got him good, no question. It was a physical hit, and, again, you can't account for broken bones. I don't know what else to tell people. You get the question every time. It'd be different if somebody's getting continuous soft tissue injuries and he can't stay healthy. Broken bones. All right, so now you move on. You got to move on, and There are options for you on the roster and so forth. McBride, Tanner Gentry, you mentioned those as possibilities. But the tight ends, you got a heck of a group of them. They might see more possibilities in terms of targets for them and so forth, almost out of need too, right?
No doubt. Yeah, I think you look at the effect that Tyreek Cohen had, as a running back, the tight ends, Deion Sims, Zach Miller was probably one of our leading receivers a year ago, and Adam Shaheen. So we just got to get them more involved. You mentioned Trey McBride. He had a good week of practice. I think he's learned our offense. He'll be an option this week. So we'll just have to wait and see how the practice week goes.
All right. Touch on defense. We're going to talk about it more in a couple of more segments. But it was stout again against the run, man. It looks like this is going to be something that you're good at, stopping the run.
Yeah, I think, it was a tribute to those guys up front, and having them healthy. And, a couple of new guys coming along, Roy Robertson Harrison, as well as Jonathan Bullard, stepping up their game gives us a good rotation in there. But that is that's going to be important. And, Atlanta was a good rush team a year ago, too. Both those backs are extremely good, both running the ball and out of the backfield. They're good three-down backs. And, I thought our guys did pretty well that way. We gave up a couple explosive plays, and a lot of it was more mistakes by us than really us getting beat.
Right. That's the other thing. You can honestly look yourselves in the mirror collectively as a team and say, hey, we did beat ourselves on this particular day.
Yeah, I think, on defense, a couple of big plays, otherwise I think we had a pretty good outing. And, even at that, you hold them to 23 points, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah, they had 11 games last year, 30 points or more, and obviously tore it up on the scoreboard all year long. That stuff that can be cleaned up, though, the mistakes like that, those are cleanup mistakes. Hopefully that doesn't happen very often. It will happen from time to time.
All right. Okay. We just, heard something outside the door, but it's just, you're not going to play perfect games. You strive for it. And, in that game, there was about three or four plays that made the difference in the game.
And you've got the unknown now with Tampa. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, too. But as far as you said earlier today, 95%. That was about 6 hours ago. Anything change?
Yeah, down there? Not really. I think it's looking more and more like it'll be in Tampa. And, I just know we're going to play on the road somewhere, and more than likely it'll be Tampa Bay.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
At the 19-yard line of Atlanta, Glennon takes the snap with time. Going to throw to the right. Cohen the catch to the five. Rolls right into the end zone. Plows right through the chest of Desmond Trufant. And the little guy's in. He takes a knee, does a sign of the cross, and is surrounded by teammates. His first NFL touchdown is 19 yards.
Cohen setting a Bears rookie record for total yards in a game. He was the most exciting player on the field, regardless of who was on the field. Both teams. I mean, that's not a bold statement, right? He was.
No, I would agree with you. Their two backs are pretty explosive, but I think Tariq might have been the most explosive. And that's not to mention, as a runner, he reversed field, makes a long gain, and then. Even on punt returns, I think he averaged 15 yards a return.
15, yep, on three returns. And don't forget the Wildcat.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Now that's in the arsenal.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, any little thing. And you guys talked about it. You guys kind of hinted, all through preseason, you weren't going to show anything, nor should you. But there's ideas in your head here about what to do with Tariq Cohen. I mean, he was lined up in the slot. He was lined up in a bunch set. He was lined up as the Wildcat. He returned punts. I mean, a little bit of everything. So, this is a guy that teams are going to have to prepare for.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a weapon and one that's very welcome to us. And, we've not had here in a couple of years. So we're excited about it. And, he just continues to get better. He still got some things to learn protection-wise.
Normal for a rookie.
Oh,
rookie
no doubt.
Backs.
No doubt. I mean, NFL, excuse me. NFL defenses are very complicated and, a tricky one. A couple blitzes the other day got us and got him. So he'll get better at it.
Some have already started to wonder, can he take this kind of pounding, because he did take some pretty direct hits, so to speak. But then I go and look and he's got 860 college carries. So
yeah,
granted, it's not the NFL at NCAA in that conference or whatnot. But this guy, he's a big boy. He can handle it.
Well, he's short. He's
big boy.
He's not small. I mean, he's got good playing strength and, something we saw very early on. And he did get zeroed in on a couple times in the game yesterday. So, but he pops up and he's pretty durable.
Defensively, Akeem Hicks, you know, just a day after finalizing his contract extension, delivers big. I had talked to him last week. I said, I envision him getting 10 sacks this year. So he's off to a great start. But that would be great coming out of his position to get that kind of pass production in terms of the pass rush. And it should now. I mean, he was doubled quite a bit yesterday. That's what you're looking for, right? Somebody to get doubled so it can open doors for somebody else.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously he showed up big. You know, you kind of saw that even in the third preseason game against Tennessee. So we know what he's capable of. I think Jay Rogers does an excellent job, you know, as the D-line coach. And, you know, I think our D-line will just get stronger and stronger. And, you know, there's a lot of teamwork involved in there. So he was set up on a couple of those, but he definitely played well.
And you mentioned Roy Robertson-Harris. Watched the special teams tape, too, and he did some really good things. He put a guy on his back on special teams. He obviously
had a pass deflection.
Yeah, pass deflection. Yeah. That's right. With, you know, using his length and I don't know. I'm assuming he's right-handed, but he had the you know, put his left hand up. I don't think that's so simple. You know, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it's you know, he's a very good athlete. He's got his work extremely hard. We saw him making progress a lot in camp, and you know, he was a guy that was on IR last year as an outside backer and worked very hard, got up to 290, so we put him down as a defensive end. And, you know, not too many guys, you know, like that are, you know, college free agents entering your system.
And he seems to be versatile, and he was this close to getting Matt Ryan down before the pass to Hooper, the big one.
No doubt. Yeah, I think, you know, the regular flow of the play got kind of disrupted, and we got pulled out of the middle, and, you know, it was a big play that, you know, you'd like to have back.
All right. This is an important day for you and for all of us as Americans, but you wear it well. You know, 9/11, you talked about it. We've done features on it. It's worth talking about again here before we go to the next break. Just when you wake up on September 11th, for the rest of your life, you personally and what you experience certainly comes top of mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, I was in New York, you know, during that day, and, you know, most everybody I knew was affected by it, you know, whether it was some financial people I knew with Cantor Fitzgerald. You know, obviously in football you get to know a lot of police and fire department people, a lot of the first responders. You know, the whole financial company of Cantor Fitzgerald was lost that day except the owner, and he was at the game in Denver. So it always is a lasting, you know, memory for me. You know, 4 years later, I went to Bagram, Afghanistan on a USO tour, and, you know, a big girder from the tower was there, and, you know, on the base to remember why we're here. So, you know, a lot's happened since then. It's hard to believe it's 16 years ago, you know. You know, a lot of great people were lost, and we should never forget.
And still, you know, I just saw something in Newsweek. They did a story on the first responders and the medical issues and the types of diseases they have now are dealing with, severe, and they assume and they think it's because, you know, of being in that. So that's the other part of the equation. It's still people are dying from it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's, you know, the world's changed, you know, in every aspect. And so, you know, obviously a lot of brave people died that day.
Okay, we're going to step away. One more segment with Coach Fox. We'll take a look at the defense and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the Bears get ready for their Week 2 assignment on the road.
Joe Ryan under pressure, and down he goes! Sacked on the play, Akeem Hicks. Heard from again, second time today. Akeem Hicks destroying the Falcons up front. Several big plays today. The big boy is taking care of business.
Yeah, Bears defense did for the most part yesterday despite the loss to the Falcons. Welcome back to the program. And you can cheer on your Bears at Soldier Field this season with single game tickets available. Visit chicagobears.com/tickets today. Final moments with John Fox before we are joined by Curtis Motkins, your running backs coach. We'll be talking a lot about Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard and the fellas. Overall, with this explosive offense, they led the league in big 20-yard pass plays last year. They only gave up one. The running game was shut down. You really, you know, if you were drawing this up, you couldn't. You want to make a team one-dimensional, and you did do that yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, a couple of, you know, poor plays, you know, defensively that involved their tight end of all people. You know, their two biggest plays of the day, and they have a very explosive group at wide receiver, as well as the running backs are both good running the ball and as pass catchers. So, That was the unfortunate thing. Again, it ended up, could have been the difference in the game. But even aside from all that, we were knocking on the door with 30 seconds left.
One of the underrated stories of yesterday, I think, was Sam Acho against the run at outside linebacker. Got a lot of snaps yesterday.
He played very well, and he played good over the tight end in the run game. And he's been very solid for us, at least in our tenure here. He's very reliable and dependable, and he's a good football player.
I know there was a big swarm of news last week. Not news, but a lot of stories written about Pernell McPhee being back. I mean, it'll be an ease into it. He'll be out there, though.
Yeah, he'll play a lot of good football for us this year, and those reps will pick up. I think Willie was in for about 18, and Pernell only had three as backups to both Leonard and Sam. So that'll grow as we go, much like Tariq Cohen.
Okay, so the hurricane hit. Yeah, you have a home in Marco Island. There was a ton of damage, obviously, but it could have been worse for everybody across the state, it sounds like. Bad enough, and everybody's been displaced and no electricity and whatnot, but, all good down there?
Yeah, the whole state took a big hit. There's no doubt it was the biggest storm ever, I think, that came out of the Atlantic. And, the predictions were the thing that was going to be the deadliest was storm surge. And actually on the southwest coast where I'm located, I'm sure, and a lot of people from the Chicago area are located. I've run into a lot of people from this area down there. But, they were calling for 10 to 15 feet, which basically on a one-story home is your house is going to be there.
You were thinking the worst.
Yeah, I was thinking my house was not
going
to be there.
You're not going there in the off-season this year.
And, luckily it was only about 3 feet. It did cover the streets. But in most neighborhoods, at least where I'm at, on the part of the island I'm on, we're fine other than some wind damage as far as, the lanai screens and some roof tiles. Obviously, there was a lot of damage, but not near the surge that they were expecting.
And with that in mind, you said earlier, you're going down somewhere to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It looks like it will be in Tampa. All that other stuff, if the NFL, if it's not, fit for fans to go, they're going to have to move you.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I think, just getting players back for Tampa, because guys, they were evacuated and it wasn't quite as bad in the Tampa area as it was in more South Florida as far as the degree of the storm and, how hard it hit. But, still getting people back and getting it organized, you feel for everybody because right now there's about 7 million people without power. And, you don't realize, how difficult that is. Yeah, until you're without it.
All right, so we set that aside for a moment. That is the most important thing, getting everybody back and into their homes and whatnot. But from a football perspective, at first glance, you think, okay, they had their game canceled, so you have not seen anything at all about Tampa. You played them a year ago,
right?
Same coach, whatnot. But they haven't played a game. Now they know everything about you, pretty much. The advantages, disadvantages, because they're disrupted. I mean, there really isn't.
It's a lot's made even coming off of a bye. They get another week to look at you, or you get another week to practice against the team. I think, at the end of the day, it comes down to who executes. And, you got to have good focus in the week of your preparation. And, they've been off for a minute. There could be people even say that's a disadvantage. So, you just got to go execute on game day. And for that 3 hours, be the best team of the two.
Like Atlanta, they have some weapons. They have
no doubt.
A young up-and-coming quarterback in Jameis Winston, and they added O.J. Howard at tight end. What else can you tell us about him?
Well, they got DeSean Jackson in the offseason.
Forgot about him.
They already had Evans, who's a big, guy that he and DeSean are totally different. So that's a matchup. Their offensive line's solid, and, their run game is good because their O-line's good. So it's a good team that got the best of us a year ago, and we were expecting to be better than we were, and we get a chance to match up again.
T.J. Ward joins the mix down there in Tampa with that defense, and Gerald McCoy and Levante David, Hargraves. They got a bunch of named players down there.
No doubt. They had some Pro Bowlers, and, they were close to a playoff team a year ago, and they've got a young, talented team. So, obviously, it'll be a big test for us. We knew all along what our first four games looked like. Right now, all our focus is on Tampa Bay.
All right, good luck with your preparation this week, and thanks again.
I appreciate it, Jeff.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. Coming up next, running backs coach Curtis Motkins will make his Bears Coaches Show debut in his first year here with the Bears.
With Tariq Cohen, takes the direct snap, sticks it in the belly of Jordan Howard. Howard running right. Howard lunging right front corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Jordan Howard in from the five.
And that was one of the highlights in yesterday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. Bears fall on a 23-17 final score. Back with you here from Hallis Hall, and pleased to be joined by Curtis Motkins, his debut maiden voyage on the Bears Coaches Show. Good to have you here tonight. How are you?
Thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you. I tell you, Tariq Cohen's the talk of the town. Despite the loss, he created such excitement throughout the city, and even from your own players, you know, hearing them talk about him, even today, defensive players, he seems to be a guy that everybody's going to stand up on the sideline and watch and see what happens.
Well, you know, Tariq's done a good job so far of getting prepared. I mean, he's done a good job all spring and all camp, and I just want him to continue to work and continue to get better and continue to improve and continue to try to do things to help us win games. So we all have to get better.
Yeah, no question. But a guy like him, the little I know him, it seems like this guy really loves the game. It's important to him. So the work he's going to put in seems like that's a no-brainer. Just seems to be that kind of guy. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah. I think he loves football, and he's not afraid to work. So that's a pretty good combination to have for a young player. And I think we're all excited about, you know, where he can go.
And I love the idea of having those two guys, he and Jordan Howard, in the backfield at the same time. You know, it used to be a long time ago, there were two backfields, and that was always fun to see traditional football that way, oftentimes with a fullback. But, you know, you can get real creative with that, especially because he can split out as he did yesterday, too.
Yeah, I think in today's NFL, the more versatile each player is, the more you can do with them offensively. So, you know, we'll continue to search and try to find ways to use everybody's versatility.
Thing is, all about matchups now, isn't it? The game's changed so much. Some coaches, I was talking to Coach Ditka the other day. He had an event in the city that I did, and I said, how would you today be able to? He goes, I don't know that I could do it. I don't know. I mean, he would, but it's just so much matchup, so much nickel, so much non-traditional what we were all raised to play, you know, and to watch. So it is different, and you have to, you know, keep up with the times.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You got to be able to match up.
All right, Curtis, tell us about Jordan Howard as well, now that you've had a chance to get to know Jordan as well. This is a downhill thumper. Mm-hmm. Great change of pace, you know, obviously, when you have Tariq in there, too, and Benny Cunningham, hopefully he's okay with that ankle. But what have you learned about Jordan Howard?
Well, I think Jordan's worked really hard to get himself ready to go the whole offseason. I thought he did a lot of good things in the game. You know, we, as a group, you know, we all just got a lot of improvement we need to do as a group. But I was pleased with the way Jordan's mentality was on Sunday. He ran tough. He ran hard. There are a few plays that I'm sure we all would like back. There are a few suggestions I made I would like to have back. But, you know, I think for the first shot, you know, I was proud of him.
And, you know, he talked about improving his pass catching in this offseason. That was a big one for him. So how do you help him from a psychological point of view? Because as coaches, you're not just instructors, but oftentimes, too, there's a mental part of the game that you got to help guys through.
Yeah, I'm not concerned at all about Jordan's hands. He had some good catches. You know, we're on to the next one. I'm not concerned at all about his hands. He'll make that play every other time. So we'll move on from that. We'll learn from it, but that's not a concern of mine.
Love to see the fullback in the game there, too. That's a dying breed, and I know Dowell's had fullbacks throughout the course of his coaching career, so... And the big guy, I think it was only his seventh rushing attempt in his career, but it was a good play.
Yeah, he's a good football
player. Michael Burton.
You know, he's just a football player. Mike's a football player. He and I are familiar with each other from my days in
Detroit.
And, you know, Mike's a good football player, and he'll do whatever we ask him to do. He'll do it to the best of his ability. So we felt comfortable giving him the ball.
All right, one segment down with Curtis Motkins.
We play the game of football. It's hit or be hit. So my position, I play offense. So I'm used to taking hits. You know, I feel like I'm durable enough back to be able to take those kind of hits. And I really feel like my defense has already prepared me to take those kind of hits.
That's Tariq Cohen after yesterday's loss to the Falcons. He was asked about, you know, getting ping-ponged around a little bit, but that's the NFL. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. You can win VIP experiences and tickets for you and your friends. Text the keyword Bears to 737-737 or visit chicagobears.com/Dr. Pepper to enter. Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears, here with Curtis Motkins. And, yeah, he did take some licks. But, you know, so many teams now, as I, even in the preseason, just going through everybody's roster, almost everybody now has a 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", back or receiver or something like that in the league. I don't know why that's happened, but these guys are tough to deal with, and you got to figure out how to tackle them. Otherwise, they're going to make you look bad.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely has that in him. Like he said, our people, he said, we're not worried about him taking it. He's a strong kid. He's, you know, he's physically ready for this, and you know, that's not an issue for him.
Yeah, as I told Coach Fox, you know, looking up his number of attempts, he had over almost 900 touches in college.
Yeah.
So he took some licks there, too. When you got to meet this young man, and I don't know if you went to his workout, if you worked him out privately, aside from the football and all the good stuff that people love to, what'd you learn about the man?
Well, my first initial meeting with him was in Indianapolis at the Combine. He struck me as a very personable young man, had a lot of energy, and you can tell just by our initial conversation that this kid loves football. And so I was really excited just to kind of continue to get to know him just see how the draft process went along. And, you know, he's definitely not disappointed in that era. Fine young man. Loves football, loves his team, loves the Bears, and wants to do anything to help us win.
What's it like in your room? Does he make you laugh?
He's got a little bit of that. He's got a little bit of that in him. Yeah, he's got a little bit of that in him. I think Benny Cunningham is the guy that makes me laugh the most room. But they all kind of chime in a little bit.
You know, Benny and I just obviously getting to know him a little bit. But when I have everything is yes sir, no sir.
Yeah.
Even at his, you know, even though he's a veteran.
Yeah.
It's kind of
what you get when you raise in the South a little bit.
yeah, that's true. That's true. But that room to have, I brought this up with Ryan Pace. I'm certain it was a purposeful thing. There's a veteran in each of the rooms. You know, there's a young team. This is a team trying to get, you know, younger players. Mm-hmm. But there's still a 30-something guy that has been tested, that have experienced just about everything you can possibly think of. How important is that also to carry your own message as an assistant and, you know, from the head coach to the coordinators to you guys? Because players listen to players a little bit differently than they do their coaches.
Listen, I think it's very important to have a leadership. I think the best leadership is that comes from within. And I think Ryan's done a good job of putting a team together that sprinkled out. And definitely in my room, you know, there's a good mix of youth and experience. And I think it plays off each other well.
Tell us about the new addition that he came in last week, Mizell.
I'm excited to see him. We watched him, evaluated him on college tape, and we liked what we saw, and we had a chance to get him, and Ryan made the move. So we're excited about it. Well, we get a chance to see him a little bit more in practice this week and see how it goes.
And the one thing about Coach Fox that I've learned over the last 3 years is that it doesn't matter where he doesn't care about pedigree. Once you're here, it's everybody's here, and you have a chance during practice to get to Sunday. It may take several weeks,
right,
and it's been the case with Denver, been the case here, was the case in Carolina. So a guy like that must get excited. Do you tell guys, hey, practice does matter. Even if you're doing scout team, if you get noticed, you're going to get more opportunities as you get, you know, through this process.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I mean, the guys know that they have a chance here, and you know, that's just a testament to the atmosphere Coach Fox is implementing here. So he knows from day one that, hey, he comes in, he does his job, he works hard, and we watch everything. I watch everything, scout team and everything, all that. It all counts. Everything matters. It's a daily evaluation. And we'll try to put the best players out there we can on Sunday. So that's encouraging.
You've been a running back coach for a long time. What is your philosophy? What is your style for those guys?
Well,
your personal style.
My personal style is to set a really high bar and never let that bar fall. And do everything that we can to make sure that we're all meeting that bar. And in our room, that's set very high. I expect a lot of those guys. And from there, it's individual. Each guy learns and responds in different ways, and it's my job to figure that out. But the ultimate deal is there's an expectation that's set, and they all know that it won't be lowered, and we try to work for that daily.
Curtis Motkins, running back coach for the Chicago Bears. One more segment with Coach coming up to the program. Jeff Joniak and Curtis Motkins, the Bears running backs coach. Remaining moments with him. Who are two guys and a Pro Bowler? Spice Adams and Alex Brown wish they were the Pro Bowler, but That would be Lance Briggs. They all get together twice a month for the most hilarious Bears podcast out there, and they do bring some football knowledge, too. You can get it on iTunes and the official Bears app, or listen in on ChicagoBears.com or YouTube. You've been a coordinator in Buffalo, San Francisco. You've worked with Chan Gailey, Chip Kelly. You were a running backs coach in Kansas City, Arizona, Detroit. I counted this. You tell me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So six homes the last 9 years. You got to drive your family crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I right?
You and my wife are counting this.
But that's the life, right?
Yeah,
the assistant coach.
We've moved around a little bit. But I tell you what, each stop we've made, we've really enjoyed it. I mean, they've been there. It proves that there are some good people and some good places everywhere. So we have, we've enjoyed it, and but definitely we've moved around a little bit.
Yeah. Do you personally, I mean, almost every coach has done it this way, whether it's through the college ranks or both. But at some point, does it, even for you, does it get a like, oh, geez, I just was like that, drop anchor for a while?
Not really.
No.
I mean, you know,
you keep climbing is what you're doing.
You know, you just try to make the best decisions for yourself and your family at the time. And I've been really fortunate to be around some really good people and some really good organizations. So I've enjoyed every stop I've made. I hope this one is one that we can anchor down. And I'm excited about it. But, yeah, we've enjoyed where we've been.
You've also coached some really good running backs, too. And top of mind is Marshawn Lynch, who came back yesterday and put a guy on his back. I saw one of the highlights. People were going crazy. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
It was great. Marshawn is a really good worker. He's all about football, and he prepares like you want your players to prepare, and that's really all you can ask. You know, I've been fortunate, though. I've had some really good players in this league.
And Reggie Bush, who you got to 1,000 yards.
Reggie Bush,
Detroit.
Jamal Charles, Fred Jackson. You know, we've had some good players. We've been fortunate.
Fred would be probably one of the most underrated.
Yeah, yeah. Freddie's my guy.
What's he doing?
He's just hanging out. I think him and his family, I think they split time between Buffalo and Iowa, I think, where his wife's family is from, I think. But Fred is as good as he gets.
Yeah, he was extremely popular there in Buffalo. And you've had some good influence as well in the coaching world. But one of the guys I've always respected is Herm Edwards. What was that like working with him?
Herm was good. It was my first year in the league, and I probably couldn't have asked for a better first year to be a first year NFL coach, to be under a better guy. Taught me a lot about team management and, you know, managing different personalities, and he really had a good pulse for the team. But I'll tell you what, the guys I've been around, it's not even fair to other people. The guys I've been around, from Chan to Herm, Jim Caldwell, I mean, Ken Wisenhunt, Jim Schwartz. I mean, I've been really fortunate, you know, and this is and to be with Coach Fox now is it's really a good deal for me.
Well, good to see you. Good to have you here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bears running backs coach Curtis Motkins, Tampa Bay next for the Bears, and a topic of conversation with head coach John Fox on today's team meeting.
Well, really kind of a combination of both. We call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, sometimes it involves video. Sometimes it's just, you know, three or four things that we did good and three or four things we did poorly. And, you know, so we mix that up, and then they break down. They watch the special teams tape as a team, and then we break down offense, defense. And, you know, it takes about an hour and a half to hour 45 minutes to replay the video with the coordinators.
Do you always come up with some specific message, or you just react to what you see and you just tell them, like, man to man, hey, fellas, this is what we went wrong, this is what we went right, and here's where we're headed? Is that how you do it?
Well, pretty much. You know, I think, you know, I really – most of the time doesn't change much from Sunday out to the game, whatever, when we call up, you know, what I say to them. And in this case, it wasn't either. I think, you know, we're knocking on the door with an opportunity to win, and to win in this league, you got to win those close games. And we came up short.
What was the vibe on the sidelines during that first and goal at the 5 and those four plays?
Well, I mean, I think everybody just visualized we were going to make one of those catches you know, go out and kick an extra point and win the game.
As you looked at the tape again, were there more opportunities available to Mike, or were these sound plays that really you could have made a play on if everything worked great?
Well, I think, you know, you have four shots there at the end, and I think, you know, we had two drops, you know, or opportunities to score and didn't. And, you know, they kind of... on third down, they covered us up pretty good. We tried to throw a little stop route to the tight end that they played pretty well. And then the final play, they just wired us. They went man, and they hadn't gone man there, you know, the prior three downs. And we just didn't shake anybody, you know. So Mike tried to flush, and then they got him from the backside.
He got hit 10 times yesterday, according to NFL statistics. I don't know what you saw on tape in terms of that, but and sacked four times. No turnovers. That was big. And a passing game that was very anemic in the beginning kicked in then as the game wore on and really put yourself in a position to win the game. You can't ask for more other than winning the game to have the ball in your hands with the clock running out and a chance to close the deal.
Yeah, I mean, you get four plays from the five-yard line. You know, we had a similar game a couple years ago against Green Bay where they had the kind of same kind of opportunity and we stopped them. So, you know, it's what this league's about. It's usually a one-score game, and, you know, in this case, we had the ball last and just came up short.
I know most people don't want to hear this, but it is the reality also. This team has to learn how to win those close games. A year ago, 1-6 in close games, and now you start the season with a close game. There weren't many close games in the NFL yesterday. Stunningly, there were only two games decided by 6 points or less. Last year, week one, there were 11. It's very weird what happened this year's week one. But the fact of the matter is there's still a learning curve here. You know, there's guys that are thrown in because of injuries and whatnot. It's just that's the process of the league.
No doubt. And, you know, it's the difference between 6-10 and 10-6. You know, you get those four or five games that, you know, put you over the top, get you into the tournament at the end of the season, and then you got to get on a roll.
All right, the Kevin White injury. There's not anybody in this building isn't sick to their stomach again. I mean, we heard from Akeem Hicks. We heard from Deion Sims. It's just unthinkable bad luck for a guy for a third year in a row. I don't even know how to say it anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, nobody feels worse. You know, the kid, you know, saw him after the game. He was pretty emotional. And, you know, it's just... That is unbelievable. I mean, he changed his number. He changed all the furniture in his house. I mean, you know, it's just been ridiculous. And, you know, it kind of happened. A lineman chasing him, you know, from behind the line of scrimmage came back, hit him right square in the back. And, you know, they think he has a fractured scapula.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's show. For Bears head coach John Fox and running backs coach Curtis Motkins and our producer Dan Barilli, Andy Gersher, our studio producer, along with Keith Johnson. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bears and Buccaneers from Tampa, hopefully. 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff on Sunday.